Welcome into Light the Lamp. I'm your host, Alexis Downey. We are excited today to be joined by a returning guest, but someone we haven't seen for quite a while, analyst for the Chicago Blackhawks and TNT, Darren Pang. Panger, welcome. So good to see you. How are you doing?
Alexis, I'm doing great. And thanks for having me on. I enjoyed that the first time going over there into the studio, and you guys have done such a great job there with the entire Ducks and getting the information out and having fun is what you do very, very well. And I'm glad you had a nice Christmas in Ohio and you got to experience some of the cold that I'm experiencing right now in Chicago, because it is freezing out there. Freezing.
Stay warm. You got to stay inside for a little bit. Well, Panger, thank you, first of all, for doing this. And
my pleasure.
And let's get into it. I mean, you were recently outside for a while with the Winter Classic. But what was the Winter Classic like at Wrigley and all of that?
You know, Alexis, it's funny that that question, it does come up ever since maybe the first six or seven of them that came out. And a lot of people will come up to me and they'll say, oh, boy, you know, does it get old? You've done that before. And then I look around and I see 45,000 fans that are there an hour and a half early, that are, I mean, cold to the bone, but yet they're there. And I say to myself, is it getting old? It's a good question. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around going, it's not old to the people that have just come for the first time. It's not old for the people that have been there for maybe two or three times. And Chicago's been lucky. I mean, it's been that kind of franchise, you know, winning three Stanley Cups, but having marquee players and a great city, you know, and great ratings. So I can see why they keep coming back to Chicago. But for me, it was thrilling. I mean, it was the second time that I was at Wrigley, Alexis. The first time was 2009. And I thought after doing the 2008 Winter Classic in Buffalo, I was between the benches. I put on skates. I talked to Sam Flood, the executive producer, into doing that for that game, that special game. And he said, you know, and he asked the questions like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I want to interview the goaltender on the ice in the warm-up. So I did. I interviewed Ryan Miller on the ice. Every time there was a break and we talked about the snow, I went on the ice. And I remember Doc Emmerich and Edzo were in the booth, and I could literally make a snowball and throw it towards them. And I remember thinking, man, if this was the last one I ever do, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, the next year comes up and NBC calls again and said, hey, we want you back for the Winter Classic. And I, great, where is it? Wrigley. I'm like, Wrigley, wow. And so as it goes on, the next year it was in, you know, it was at Fenway. I'd never been to Fenway before. And now I've done two Winter Classics at Fenway and I've never watched a baseball game. So, I mean, so I guess what I'm saying is that it's still exciting to walk the grounds, to walk through the concourse, to see fans, new or old, that have been there before, or new ones with young kids that are buying their scarf for the first time and they're all tucked in. It's really something else. And I think the game itself, it's a bonus if the game is good. That game didn't end up being a very good game to end it for Chicago. They just didn't play well enough and they were quite embarrassed by that. Give St. Louis credit. They played a great game. They deserve to win, but the fans still stay there till the very end, Alexis. I looked around. There's 3 minutes to go. Nobody left. They hunkered in there to the very end. And I give them a lot of credit. Our fans are the best. They're the best fans in all of sports for what they do and how passionate they are and how much they believe in their teams, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent.
Very passionate fan. Something I got to know a little bit about when I was in Chicago as well. What made this Winter Classic maybe a little unique from other ones that you've been a part of?
I sat beside Derrick Rose for half a period. Didn't know that it was Derrick Rose.
Oh, you didn't.
His back was toward it, you know, facing me. And the NHL or the Blackhawks. I'm not sure who put them down there, but he was in kind of a photographer's chair because I was, Brian Boucher was between the benches and I was just kind of around the ice and you have to stay in that one spot. And until he went on the Jumbotron and I kind of looked up at the same time, like, Derrick Rose had been beside me for 10 minutes. And I didn't even notice. So
that's amazing.
I thought that was pretty cool. What was really unique about the Winter Classic this year? You know, I guess being the second time in Wrigley, the first time around, it happened so fast. I didn't even recognize like which way the rink was facing, to be honest with you. Somebody asked me, I'm like, I don't remember. It was just a whirlwind for me. And I think as years go on, you just get a greater appreciation of the elements. I think I got a better appreciation of the, honestly, the NHL staff, the ice crew. You know, I mean, you think about it. It was raining for 3 days.
Yeah.
And I was getting phone calls. Hey, is it worth going? Is it going to be canceled? I'm like, no, you'd be amazed at what these guys do. And that amazed me, you know, how they get it done. And the boys told me that the ice was as good as they've ever seen it for a Winter Classic.
Wow.
So that part was impressive. I had my two little granddaughters at the game. They came in from St. Louis. One's 5 and one's 3, or just over 3. And they went. And so after the first period, I went all through the stands and I went and saw them. Aww. And I thought that was an experience that I wouldn't even have thought of doing that, even if my family was there before. But as years go on, you've got more calmness and you've got more enjoyment and you're looking through the stands. And I guess for me, being unique because I'm not long gone from St. Louis, and loads of Blues fans there, which I admire them like crazy and had such a great 14 years. And so I'm going through the stands and I got the Blackhawk fans, and you got the Blues fans, and you're saying hello to everybody. And everybody's just such a great mood because it was just it was the night before the new year. So I think everybody was all pumped and ready to go and all had probably reservations everywhere, Alexis. So it was quite unique that way. And the other part of it was we're all anticipating Cam Fowler's, 1,000th game. Mm-hmm. And it was very exciting when he scored the goal and the way he just kind of, the way that he put his arms out, it was like he'd done it 100 times before. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really a cool experience for Cam and the entire St. Louis Blues. They love this guy. Mm-hmm. And it's, he was great in Anaheim. Maybe time to turn the page at that age and give him an opportunity. And maybe he'll get that opportunity in the playoffs. Maybe they will challenge. But all I know is he's fitting in there like a glove.
Yeah, what a moment that was for him to get the first goal and then go on to have 2 goals in that game. You got to speak with him in game. And then also you presented the Coco Cup MVP to him. In your conversation with him and seeing the emotions, what was it like for Cam that night? And also, I know you gave a little shout out to our players here wearing the 1,000th game T-shirts that they had made.
Yeah, I'll start with that first because our producer let me know about that somewhere midway through the first period. And I went to Kevin Brown's, our producer, and I said, hey, Brownie, that'd be a good hit. You know, that'd be good to recognize, the team that he started with as a first round pick and that he spent so much time, almost 1,000 games with that organization. And they were great to make the move and, and put him on a team that he has a fighting chance with. So that was really great. I thought that was outstanding that the players had that in mind because, often when a player leaves, they leave and you're just onto your day-to-day things. And, but whoever recognized that and whoever put it together, that was really well done. And I know it meant a lot to Cam. He's still a man of very few words, as you heard in the interviews. Yeah. He's not a guy that wants to talk about himself very much. And I know he was interviewed a lot during the game. I mean, I interviewed him after the first period and then he won the Coco Cup. But even in the locker room, when Jim Montgomery came out and then the trainer, Ray Barilli, presented him with a beautiful bottle of champagne. And then sure enough, we give him the old famous Coco Cup. And I think that they all thought it was going to be a car because Gretzky kind of was hitting Braden Schenn, saying, Schenner, if you get in a fight and you block a shot and you score a goal, man, I'm the guy that votes. Maybe you'll get a car. And Schenner said to a car, they're giving out cars for the MVP. So I think that trickled through the locker room, only to hold the Coco Cup that was first given last year to Joey Decord of Seattle. But all in all, though, it was really cool doing that in the locker room, Alexis, because it was, it allowed the players to kind of be there and you could see the way that they were and how much fun that they had in doing that.
It was a really special moment to watch that for him and to see your presentation to him earning those honors. Really awesome overall. And for you,
it wasn't a car, though, Alexis. It wasn't a car. He might have thought it was going to be a car because Gretzky told Schenn a little bit of a fib right there. But it was the Coco Cup and he gets to keep that forever.
And that's what counts. That you can keep that. Cars, they come and go, I guess. But Panger, when you think back to the weekend, was there anything else that you got to do outside of the game that made the weekend special? Or, well, I guess it was a weekday in this case, but the New Year's Eve celebration special?
There was lots. Honestly, it's a time to just to get together with some friends. And I cherish the time I get with the greatest player that's ever played the game in Wayne Gretzky. And on a socially and for how long I've known Wayne. And I ended up doing something at Wrigley for old time hockey. And it was a cool thing where I sat in the middle of Wrigley and I voiced over an old video game that I did. And so I did that. And then on my way back, I got a phone call from Wayne. He's, where are you? And I said, I'm just on my way back. And he goes, I'm over at Gibson's with Janet and a few friends, right over to Gibson's, and ended up having dinner. Now, what I'm getting to is that's what makes this special, is mm-hmm. it's not just a 1 day event. It's a 3 day event. So have dinner there. And he says, hey, come on, we're popping over to Tavern on Rush. I said, great. The entire St. Louis Blues Club was there, including Cam, including, you know, Braden Chen, the entire team was wow. there. And this was two nights before. And to see those guys that I was, you know, a lot of those guys, I was there for 14 years. And again, it goes back to relationships and, you know, big hugs and great to see these guys. And so then there was that. So beautiful dinner, have some fun. And then, you know, then the next day it's we did something great for the Blackhawk alumni, the St. Louis Blues alumni, the NHL alumni, the new NHL Foundation. Mm. And Chris Chelios presented a check for $25,000 to the NHL Foundation. Anyway, this was at the House of Blues, this iconic House of Blues. And it was so cool. I'd never even been there before. And so many greats have played there. And so we had Catherine Tappan and myself, we had John Hamm, we had Gretzky, Chelios, Denny Savard, Al McGinnis, and Jeremy Roenick. Wow. All on stage. And then there was a party afterwards. So again, that's another one of those great moments of the Winter Classic and raising a lot of money for the NHL alumni in different sections. And then you know Troy Murray so well. I mean, great analyst and former mm-hmm. player. And he's such a good buddy, but he's the president of the Blackhawk alumni. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's battling cancer and has been for some time. The guy's an amazing human being. And there he was, you know, mm-hmm. you know, just that grin on his face and just being a part of it. And Kelly Chase of the St. Louis Blues, you know, he was back at Siteman's Cancer Care. We had him on FaceTime. He was a big part of putting this all together. In fact, he was the most significant person put it all together, and he couldn't be there, but we FaceTimed him from the hospital bed. So, I mean, just so many great things.
Yeah. It's one of the things that people don't realize is how many events there are outside just the game.
Yeah. Yeah, you are right.
Yeah.
The game is kind of the game. Like I was talking to the players, like, okay, it's an important game, so play well. yeah. But at the end of the day, there's so many other things mm-hmm. going on. But, you know, if you're the home team, you want to win that game. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, the Blackhawks have not won a Winter Classic. Yeah, I was shocked to see that number. So again, the fans went away disappointed. The players went away embarrassed. Mm-hmm. The general manager wasn't happy. He went in the room afterwards. So, you know, with all the glamour of it all and all the anticipation, sometimes it just doesn't always work that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, one last question on the Winter Classic to wrap that up. The fact that it was the Blues and the Blackhawks, two places special for you, how did that make the event even more special overall when you think about all the other Winter Classics, but this one in particular?
Well, for sure it was, you know, not being the main analyst either, you know, Eddie Olczyk and Brian Boucher, you know, they get that nod. And basically for me, there's no stress. The stress mm-hmm. would come if there was something very controversial that happens and, you know, you're making the best call that you can make as a broadcaster and you're under the scrutiny of social media and people question you or not question it, whatever it might be. But for me, it was an enjoyable job. I mean, I did, you know, interviews with the players. I'd interview with the coaches. I'd walk off interviews and I get to go in the winning locker room. So for me, it was the special part was that, one of my granddaughters had a Ryan O'Reilly sweater. She loves Ryan O'Reilly. And when I moved from the Blues to the Blackhawks, she said, you got traded just like Ryan O'Reilly got traded. Aww. That's the way she thought of it. And mm-hmm. then, so she's got a Blues Ryan O'Reilly and the 3.5-year-old has a Blackhawk Bedard sweater on. So I said, let's just Perfect. Cut them in half, sew them together and put Holy Jumping on the back. But they didn't want to do that either. So that was, you know, that was cool. And going through the, you know, I think just seeing so many people mm-hmm. that, you know, I left St. Louis on a high note, I would say, appreciate everything I had there. And then now being back in Chicago where they really wanted me to come back was really something else. Mm-hmm. But the game itself, the Blues and the Blackhawks, I also played in that rivalry. They hate each other. I'd like it to get back to that, to be quite honest with you, Alexis. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've have it right now, but you have it when both teams are competing again in the playoffs and both teams have a chance to win it all. But that's not right now. But I sure hope that they still hate each other because that's what makes it the greatest rivalry. If for me, the most, I don't know, it's under the radar rivalry mm-hmm. in all of hockey. So hope it gets back to that.
Yeah. Banger. One of the things you were also part of recently was giving some words to Brian Hayward. Hazy on his 2000th game recently. thinking back, you know, fellow goaltender, fellow broadcaster, can you speak to that video for Hazy and celebrating his 2000th game broadcast?
Well, Hazy and I go back a long way, and we have had just a blast together. So I was it's always an honor to do that, because first of all, 2000 games is a lot. And I wanted to make sure I mentioned that how good that broadcast team has been for a long time. You know, I've been to Scotland, and I think Bannon Dunes with John Ahlers, played a lot of golf with Johnny, saw him grow, you know, really rise to where he is right now from the Detroit Vipers and on up. I was broadcasting when Hazy was still playing. And then when he started in the broadcast, I was at ESPN, and we'd have Hazy as a sideline reporter for many playoffs. And then I'd work with him for in other events as well. But I wanted to really get into the one time that we were together that was the best ever, because never has there been a president being interviewed for, you know, in game live in an NHL game. And so sure enough, our producers, Bruce Connell, God rest his soul, I believe Dave Strader was on the call, another great one that's passed. And so I had a backhaul feed. I always taped it on a high eight in the truck. So I had the backhaul feed, and we're trying to listen to Bruce Connell saying, okay, Hazy, get ready. When we say go, you've got to bring the president of the United States, Mr. Bill Clinton, out from the underneath. Secret Service will be all over. There were dogs, there were snipers, there was everything here. So This is the best Brian Hayward moment. So he brings them out, and just before we throw down to him with the president of the United States of America, before they get on air, because I've got it captured on the high eight on the backhaul feed, you hear Brian pat him on the side saying, so how's it going, Bill?
Oh my God.
And our producer, Bruce Connell, I'll give you an idea of what he sounded like. That's the president of the United States of America. You don't call him Bill. So just a classic Canadian, you know, great guy in Hazy that passed him on the side and asked for that. So anyway, I gave him the tape. I put it onto a DVD or something. Maybe it was a VH, or he transferred it over. And at one point, his dad wanted to show it to his friends. And Hazy tells me this story. Anyways, dad taped over the VHS tape, and like Jeopardy was on it. And they erased the whole thing. So I got another copy, I think, for Hazy after that. But those are the moments that we go way back. But we're talking 1998, you know, the ride of Washington. I think Hazy and I played congressional early morning. We played a lot of golf together. And when we get together in Anaheim, it's like, okay, can we go to practice? Can we get nine holes in? We'll shower at the club, and then we'll head on back. So it was my honor to do that. And I wish I had more time to go through more stories. Maybe Hazy and I should do a hot stove one time before the game and go over a few things. But I really, as you know, your whole broadcast is fantastic. And Hazy, certainly when you go over 2000 games, you're doing something really, really well, because there's ups and there's downs. And the easy part about being a broadcaster, when there's ups and you're winning Stanley Cups like they did in 07, the downs are when you're not making the playoffs and you still get on the air and you sell the players, you sell the team, and you do it with enthusiasm and you do it with credibility. And I think both those guys have done that for a long period of time.
That's such a good story. And I mean, it is truly a hilarious story. Well, the good news is there's one more Hawks trip out to Anaheim this season in March. So maybe you guys can reminisce a little bit more. And did you give him that new video, the new DVD of it? Or do you still have it there?
I thought I sent him another copy of it that I have. Gotcha. And so I'll try to find it. We would have a lot of fun with this if we can pull it off. But you know, now that he's a pickleball champ, you know, like he goes all over and he's got, no, I can't meet up for dinner. I'm playing pickleball in an open championship. And I'm like, Hazy, come on, let's go. You know,
do you play pickleball?
And some steakers. I do. Yeah, actually I do play pickleball and I like it, but he sounds like he's a champ. I don't know. It'd be a tough one. Tough one. Those two goalies going at it. That would be fun.
It would be.
Now all we need is Guy Hebert in there too,
and
we
get Guy in.
Three of us. Yeah, exactly.
All the goalies. Goalies take pickleball. I love it. Oh, Oh, gosh. Well, Panger, one of the other things I wanted to mention was it's funny looking back, the first time we had you on Duckstream, you were with the Blues, now with the Blackhawks in your transition. How have you been liking Chicago? How's it been going? I know, obviously, too, this year's a little different because similar to here in Anaheim, you guys also have a new TV partner.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, last year would be my first year here. I also had a play-by-play partner that I'd never worked with before, a really young up-and-comer in Chris Vosters. And he didn't grow up with hockey. And I think as the year went on, there must have been some talk behind the scenes about maybe going another direction, which we did with Rick Ball, and brought in a guy that's very, very experienced and did hockey in Canada and has done a lot of hockey. I've really enjoyed that. I enjoyed it last year with Chris. I mean, we have a younger guy, and now this year I've got an older, experienced guy. But last year was seamless because of the NBC Sports Network that they'd been on for, you know, gosh, probably 20 years.
Yeah.
And then this year, you know, switching over to the Chicago Sports Network, which, you know, with the Bulls and with the White Sox, at the beginning, everything looked like, you know, everything was going to go rather smoothly. But as it turns out, they didn't get on the tier of Comcast, which so many of the Blackhawk fans have. Now, these are things that I didn't really understand or had no understanding of what everybody had. But obviously, that's been the challenge so far. The actual app and the actual production and everything has gone really, really well. It's on several other, you know, even the antenna. I'm not sure, you know, how the antenna thing is something that works for a lot of people, and they really like that. It's not an antenna with rabbit ears. It's just a, you know, it's probably about this big, and it just kind of, you know, goes on the back of your TV. But that has been the challenge so far, is just getting it distributed. I watched, you know, and I talked to actually Hazy. I talked with Daryl Ray over at the Dallas Stars, with using the same platform. I've been really impressed that it's gone without a hitch. Mm-hmm. And how well that's gone for both Anaheim and certainly with the Dallas Stars. So I think that's something that everybody looked at, and how successful that those two franchises have been with that. And I'm sure that a lot of will follow that suit as well. So good on you guys. And for us, I know it's going to get much better, and we're going to get the audience, you know, to a much greater capacity. But for the time being, that's been the challenge so far. And that's been certainly a frustrating part. There's no question about that. Could you want? You know, you've got 12 million people here in the city of Chicago. It's one of the largest markets in all of the National Hockey League. And our ratings here in Chicago have always been top five. And so to have this happen and the challenges for the fans, not exactly what you set out for at the beginning. So hopefully it'll get remedied. And I'm sure it will.
It's interesting how much we were talking about it before. The landscape of TV has changed, especially over the last couple of years. And for a broadcaster yourself, I mean, you've seen that firsthand.
I have. And I remember when I got hired by ESPN in 1993, which you weren't even born yet, right?
No, I wasn't. Close, no. Not quite.
Okay. But I remember, you know, ESPN, and, you know, ESPN was ESPN. I mean, that was the mothership of all motherships. And then we were starting ESPN2, the Deuce. And I remember going doing games, and anyone from the late Pierre Lacroix, who was the general manager of the Colorado Avalanche, like basically cornered me one time saying, my friend Celine Dion is in Las Vegas and she can't watch the game. And I remember the challenges then, and going, well, I don't know what to tell you, Pierre. Like, I don't have the distribution map for you. But but I remember I had to answer a lot of questions, and so did we all if we were on ESPN too. And then, you know, as years go on, there's, you know, the people maybe complained about the ESPN Plus. You know, I don't have that. I only have linear, which would be ESPN. And there's always a challenge out there. So I remember when this started this year, I remember saying, you know what, I've gone through this before. We've probably all gone through it before. And there's not a whole lot we can say. It's way above our pay grade and our department. But I feel for the fans. And I felt for the fans way back in 1993 when ESPN wasn't distributed to everybody as well. But that's, you know, that's just part of the experience where you go through it, and you know that eventually the ship's going to sail nice and smooth, and everybody's going to get it, and everyone's going to be happy, and they're going to forget about it from a few years prior to that. So but I'm enjoying the heck out of Chicago. When I raised our, well, my wife and I, when my wife and I raised our kids, We were out in Wheaton, like some, you know, 30 to 40 minutes away in the west suburbs. And, you know, now here we are, we've got six granddaughters under the age of five, and we're living in River North, and we're walking to restaurants, and we're just enjoying the heck out of our life right now. And so it has come full circle. Rocky Wirtz told me before I came here, says, I want you to come back to Chicago. I want you to go full circle. I want you to end where you started. Mm. And he was the driving force, a man that really wanted me to come back here. And so I greatly appreciate the late Rocky Wirtz and his son, Danny, now that's the owner of the organization. I taught him to be a goalie when he was 10, 11, 12, you know, because he was a big fan of all the goaltenders. And I was his favorite when I was on the team. And now here we are. You talk about full circle. Now he's my boss. He owns the entire team, and I'm back here. So still, it's a lot of fun to be back.
Still giving him tips on how to be a goalie, you know?
Yeah, we both decided that there's no more goaltending for either one of us.
It's fair. Only golf now, probably.
That's it. Yeah. That's exactly right for me. Yes.
Fanger, anything else exciting for you coming up this season? Obviously, a second half of the NHL season. Anything else coming up?
Yeah, well, TNT and ESPN will share the Four Nations Cup. And that, remember doing the 2016, a different time, that was in September for ESPN, the World Cup of Hockey, which was great. That was a lot of fun. And then this one I'm going to do with Brendan Burke and Jackie Redman. We'll do game one in Montreal. That will be Sweden and Canada, so the first game of the tournament. And then TNT only gets two more games after that. So I think it's on the 17th, maybe the semifinals or the quarterfinals. And Eddie Olczyk's team will have that one. So I'll be off in Palm Springs playing golf, probably running into Hazy or Jimmy Fox or somebody over there at that particular time. So that's a nice break for me. And then, you know, TNT's got the Stanley Cup final this year. So last year was the ESPN. We get it this year. So obviously we're all hoping for a great final and two great teams, and that we can get these ratings back up and boosted up a little bit. I think everybody was a little disappointed with the ratings with the Winter Classic, and so that'll be a big part of it as well. Hopefully getting two teams that don't like each other and that people will want to tune in and watch, just like last year. You know, you think about the ratings at the beginning. I mean, they weren't that hot, you know, with Florida and Edmonton, and then bang, a 3-0 lead turns into 3-1, 3-2, 3-3. And those ratings for, you know, game six and game seven went through the roof. So you just need something compelling. Doesn't matter what countries they're from. It doesn't matter if they've ever played each other before. But man, when you get down to the nitty gritty of game sixes and game sevens, that's when it's at its best.
It's always so fun to watch hockey that time of year. And good luck with everything ahead.
Thank
Panger,
you.
So great to have you join us here today, and looking forward to seeing you in March as well.
Alexis, sounds great. We'll have to get together if we can get Hazy off the pickleball court and onto the golf course.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you again.
Okay, take care. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Thanks.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.